Your fellow sons and daughters of Adam and Eve, dust you are, but through him who died, you will live forever. May that truth become even more evident as you make your journey to the cross and empty tomb in this Lenten season, in his name. Almost 500 years ago, the world was turned upside down, not by a weapon of mass destruction, but by a weapon of mass instruction, a pen. There was a monk, technically a friar, from Wittenberg named Martin, and he took a pen, and he wrote down 95 theses, points of debate, with other theological scholars of the area. He put them on a church door. And eventually the world was turned upside down because of these 95 theses. You might be thinking, Pastor, have you checked the calendar? It sounds like you're going into your Reformation sermon introduction. And it's Lent. This is Ash Wednesday. Reformation's in October. That's when we talk about Luther. Oh, we will in October. And tonight we're not going to talk in detail about the 95 theses, but for you who are called Christians and Lutherans, do you know what the very first thesis says? Something very appropriate for tonight, Ash Wednesday, where you're hearing a lot about repentance. This is how Luther began those 95 theses. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen. When our Lord and Master Jesus Christ said, repent, he willed the entire life of believers to be one of repentance. The very first of those world-changing theses didn't have to do anything about the Pope or purgatory. Oh, Luther would get to that too. But the first one, it shows how important this word is that we're talking about tonight, repent. And Luther says what the Bible says, our entire lives are to be one of repentance. And not Luther, but the great reformer of all mankind, the redeemer of the world tonight, doesn't give us a thesis, doesn't give us an abstract theological statement to wrestle on, but as he does so often, the good teacher gives us a picture to consider. A picture, a story to think about what it means to repent. He gives us a parable, an earthly illustration, an earthly story with a spiritual meaning. And tonight, it's all about repentance. These are the words of Jesus from Luke 18, beginning with verse 9. To some who are confident of their own righteousness and look down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humbled themselves will be exalted. You see the picture? Picture yourself going to worship. The sun is setting over the mountains and hills surrounding Jerusalem. Oh, the fragrant scents of incense of a lamb, perhaps, are burning. You're coming to the temple to worship. And you're probably jostling through masses of crowds in a huge complex. But once you get closer, you see someone who you think should be there. You recognize him right away from his brilliant, beautiful outward clothes. He's a Pharisee. Someone everyone looks up to. Someone everyone listens to. And he's praying. But then maybe off in the corner you see some movement, something going on. Maybe a few others in the crowd are staring too. And this man, well, he's not dressed like the Pharisee, and he's not acting like the Pharisee. Maybe by his uniform you recognize him and you want to spit. Because you think he has a lot of gall to even show his dirty face in the temple. His clothes are a little bit luxurious too, but you know what bought them. The money that he took from you and your people. He's a tax collector, which in that day was a cheat. Someone who looked out for himself. And this person is coming to worship. And what's he doing? You see him kind of crumpled over. It looks like he's praying too, but not like the other Pharisees. He's mumbling something up into heaven. And Jesus fills in those words. The tax collector says, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And then Jesus tells you something shocking. That's the man who's worshiping. That's the man who's praying. That's the man who's repenting. That's the man who's being restored and will go home justified. What? What was the problem with the Pharisee? Did the Pharisee know doctrine? Of course he did. Did the Pharisee care about his church? Of course he did. He gave generously and he showed up regularly at worship. Did the Pharisee seem to have a zeal for country, for fellow man, for church, maybe even for charity and the poor? Of course he did. But the problem was that the Pharisee's greatest zeal was for himself. And worship of God was really an excuse to worship himself, to try to look inward and see why he should be able to stand and pray with joy. Did you catch what word kept popping up in his prayer? I. God, I thank you that I am not like other people. I fast twice a week and I give a tenth of all I get. God isn't really too much in that prayer. It's all about himself. And then the tax collector doesn't even look up into heaven. At this time, most people prayed with their hands outward. And they looked up like this. And the Pharisee seems to be doing it in a big way that's getting all kinds of attention. The tax collector is crumpled down with his fists and balls. And he doesn't even want to look up. But where his eyes aren't looking, his heart is. His eyes are not looking in. His eyes are looking up. His heart's looking up. And he's saying, God, you see what's in here. I see what's in here and I can't hide it. I need you to cleanse it all. And Jesus says he went home cleansed. And so we learn a lesson about repentance tonight. Which one are you? Well, the answer is both. You might have an upstanding job that has respect in the eyes of those around you, and your neighbors might think you're nice and keep up your home fine, and maybe even your mother and father think you do a nice job at whatever you do, but in the end, your God who created you says, be perfect as I am perfect, and if you are not perfect, then dust you are, and to dust you will return. And that's an uncomfortable thought. And on Ash Wednesday and Lent, you and I are called to look at all of our sins and shortcomings and failures, and that feels painful. And so perhaps at times we'd rather just slip into a few Pharisaical robes and not look at our sin, but look at what we've done and point to good intentions and good tries, or at least point to others' bad intentions and others' tries and think about, oh, how awful and sinful other people are in the world. And how we haven't committed quite the same sins that others have. But the Reformer Jesus Christ doesn't let us do that. And on Ash Wednesday and in Lent, he comes to us and he says, take off those comfortable, cozy robes of your own self-righteousness that you want to hide in. Take them off and put on sackcloth and ashes. Look into your heart and see what should be there that isn't, and into your mind and see the idols you create where I would live. And fall down on your face and cry out, Lord, forgive me. But why does Jesus do this? Not Because he wants us to live our whole life of repentance as one that's just groveling and dragging ourselves around. Repentance means sorrow over sin, but that's only part of it. Do you know that? Repentance means turning from sin and turning to something else. And Jesus loved you and I so much. He said, I will give you a better option than turning from sin and to yourself. You can turn from sin and turn to me. And your eyes can look away from yourself, and your eyes can look to me. That's what happens on Ash Wednesday. Your Savior reminds you and I that we will die, but we will live. Your Savior says, do not look inside, look outside. Look at me. The Lamb of God was not sacrificed in the temple, but within a few stone's throws of the temple. Look at me, the Lamb of God who lived for you. Look at me, the Lamb of God who died for you. Dust you are. I went to death first, though, so dust you will not remain. Look at me, the Lamb of God who rose again from the dead and gives it all to you free of charge. And then come. Come. You who are weary and burdened about who you are and about what you have done and haven't done, come to me. And I, the Lamb of God, will not reach out and give to you 7 steps to make your life better, 5 resolutions to prove that you're a worthy follower of me, a how-to guide to be a Pharisee. No, I will cleanse you with my blood. And I will wash away your sins. And you will die to yourself and live in me. What a Savior we have that frees us from sin, death, and the burden of looking inside to try to find what only God can give from the outside. Our Savior who loves us so much that he saves a Pharisee and tax collector like me, saves me from choking on my own pride or dying in my own despair, and says, look at me, the Lamb of God who takes away your sin and the sin of the whole world, and who frees you so that you may have life now and that you might have it to the full. Your whole life is one of repentance. Your whole life is this constant struggle of dying to yourself and falling before him who died for you and rose again, but then your whole life will be a journey to eternal life, to see the God who loves you more than anyone else in this world and who will take you through this world and out of this world until you live with him forever. You have crosses on you right now, metaphorically and literally in your life. But at some point, I bet tonight, you will go home and you will either take your hands and you'll put them in water with soap, or you'll put water on your face and wash it away. When that happens, think of the Lamb of God by whose blood your sins are cleansed, your sins are washed away. And lift up your eyes to him and be restored, be renewed by your great Redeemer and your Reformer. Amen. May the peace of our God fill our hearts and minds as we repent and are restored by him and in him. Amen.